before I graduated MD course in 2007, I requested my director of World Mission Department to let me continue to study further at the MSD course. But he didn't allow me to do it because my primary purpose to study here was preparation for becoming a missionary. So now that I'm working here as a missionary under the Wesleyan Church since 2007. After 7 years in 2014, I consulted with my director again for my study further here again. And he allowed me to do it. One of the biggest problems was where I was living in that time. I was staying at the Bible College in Sinipsip, Bugias, Benguet. It's 10 to 12 hours far from here. It's a mountain area. Okay. Like this. I was there for my teaching ministry in the Bible College. Sometimes I was teaching in the crowd because it's very high. And then sometimes I was teaching above the crowd. And I consulted with Dr. Cunningham and Dr. Modine, and they were willing to understand and accept my difficult situation and my desire, and arrange and adjust my study into the difficult situation alongside with my missionary working. Sometimes I needed adjusting myself to the school schedule. My wife was willing to understand and send me to study here. In 2016, we moved to Pangasinan, but it's yet far from here. It spent 6 to 7 hours to travel. I thank God because I sacrificed a lot of things, but God helped and protected me and my family in this difficult situation by this time. I appreciate Dr. Modi and his wife, Marnie. I won't forget their encouragement and love and care in Christ. I'm thankful to other professors. I'm also thankful to some staff at APNTS because you were also willing to understand and help me, especially for my short stay on campus. This is my class, the Hebrew class, 1, 2, and then also the Genesis class, and then also the covenant group. I joined the praying soccer. I was so happy to play soccer here in the Philippines. When I came here that in 2004, there is not so many the soccer the favorite student and the student to play soccer here. But the now there are many. Okay, this is my family. I have 4 kids, 2 daughters and 2 sons. Okay. Let me introduce one of memories during my study at MST course. What do you think he is doing? This happened to our professor during the Hebrew class. Did he fall down because of banana? Did he faint? Is he sleeping? Is he looking for something? Is he kissing or talking to the floor? What is he doing? Our professor, Dr. Modi, is good and creative teacher and also the communicator. When he taught us Hebrew word, Hebrew word, hishtakaba, for the to bow down. To bow down, to worship, to surrender completely. Dr. Modin demonstrated the words nuance to the student in the class, and then he. He seemed to exaggerate it. But I could understand that he was trying to communicate the significance of the Hebrew word well. Dr. Modin's demonstration was so effective and meaningful to me in that class. Okay, this morning I would like to share the word of the God from 1 Kings chapter 18. I believe you are familiar with this story. The contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. Of course, we may say this story's climax is in the end. True God answered Elijah's prayer with fire. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." But this morning, our sermon title is From Ministerial Perspective, Repair the Altar of the Lord. Which is based on chapter 18, verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me and all the people came near to me. Elijah needed repairing the altar of the Lord. Why? Because it was thrown down. By whom? According to chapter 19, verse 10 and 14, it was broken by the people of Israel. Shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and kill your prophets. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this wonderful moment this morning. Lord, we are here to listen to your message from the Word of God. Lord, please be with us, among us, in us. And then please speak to our heart through the Holy Spirit. Lord, please make us humble to listen to your message. Lord, I ask you to anoint me this speaker, and then also make this speaker humble to speak your word. Lord, please lead us and guide us through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Okay. Following God's calling, Elijah rose up to save the people of Israel from pagan god Baal, idolatry. For achieving this purpose, Elijah needed to be opposed to national, political, and religious leader, King of Israel, Ahab. God sent Elijah to Ahab for declaring stopping rain in a word, drought, for 3 years in chapter 17, verse 1. It meant that, first, the challenge against those who worship Baal and practice idolatry, and second, insulting King Ahab's political and religious authority. After 3 years, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Stopping rain means God's curse, while raining is identified with God's blessing in the Old Testament. So God is about to send his blessing upon the earth now, and Elijah is going to see Ahab to declare God's blessing. However, before bringing God's blessing, Elijah needed giving the challenge against the people of Israel to respond. God's blessing seemed to depend on Israel's response to Elijah's challenge, because God wants to bless his people and the nations through his people. But the Israelites' idolatry was one of the biggest problems to disturb God's blessing. That's why Elijah needed saving the people of Israel from idolatry. Elijah gathered the people of Israel and the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel and asked a question to all the people. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But nobody answered Elijah. Elijah's question was inconvenient for their spiritual condition and has a point. They were comfortable of and entertained with this ambiguous spiritual condition. By the way, Elijah used the word "go limping" for representing their spirit mind or their half mind. What does it mean? It means be paralyzed or waver. The people of Israel was wavering between two gods, Baal and the Lord. We may see those who are wavering between two gods even in our church. The church is always exposed to and attacked by the secular ideology. The church members sometimes may waver with their financial, social, material, and spiritual difficulties. Not only church members, but also even we ministers are tempted to leave ministry and find our much easier job and work to earn. So, in that sense, we are always tempted to be wavered between two different opinions, secularity and Christianity, the church, or our own desire and God's will. That's why Elijah's question is important for us at the present. How long will you go limping, waver between two different opinions? Let's think where our church is standing and where we ministers are standing. Elijah tests the Israelites' heart faith through the contest between Elijah and Baal prophets to call upon the name of Baal or the Lord, and second, the God who answered by fire, he is God. The prophet's bird prepared the booths on the altar and called upon the name of Baal, danced around the altar, cried aloud, and cut themselves with sword. But there was no voice, no answer. They might hear their own breathing. And heartbeat sound in the silence. And the next turn is Elijah. It is interesting that when the prophet of Baal prepared the altar, it mentions they took the bull that was given them and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon. It showed they took the bull and prepared it. That's all. But Elijah's preparation for the altar is different from them. Elijah first called all the people of Israel to come near to him, and they came near to him. And in end, he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. In chapter 19, verse 10 to 14, Elijah mentioned the altar of the Lord was thrown down by the people of Israel. In other words, there had been the altar of the Lord which was broken and abandoned by the people of Israel at Mount Carmel. And Elijah chose that place for the contest against the prophets of Baal. And now, Elijah started repairing the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down and by the people of Israel in front of themselves. Elijah's repairing the altar was symbolic and instructional and meaningful demonstration for the people of Israel. It seems to send the message that this was the altar of the Lord, which was broken and abandoned by you, but now I'm repairing it. How did Elijah repair the altar of the Lord before the people of Israel? Elijah took the 12 stones. Shall we read together the chapter, verse 1 to 32, 1 to 3? Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the Elijah used 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, Israel, to build the altar of the Lord. Why did Elijah use 12 stones? Because these 12 stones could remind all the people of their true identity as the Lord's people, the people's covenant identity. Okay. When God made covenant with Jacob, God gave him new name, Israel. And Jacob set up a pillar, a stone, in the place where God spoke with him. When God made the Book of Covenant after brought out the people of Israel from Egypt, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then, when the people of Israel passed over the Jordan River, God commanded them to take 12 stones from the midst of Jordan and lay them down in the place where they lodged. And here in Joshua, we can see what the people must have remembered by 12 stones. Shall we read together? It's Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 24. 21 to 24. 1 to 3. And he said to the people of Israel, here we can see 12 stones reminded the people of Israel that first, all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Second, they may fear the Lord your God forever. Now they don't fear. So all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Now, rather, the people of Israel believe the hand of the Baal is mighty. And then they may fear the Lord your God forever. Now they don't fear the Lord with their God. Rather, they go limping, waver between two gods. Okay. By the way, can you imagine how big stones Elijah carried for building the altar of the Lord? Is it as big as you can hold by your hands, like this? There is no mention here, but if we followed the book of Joshua, the size of stone is as big as he might carry a stone upon his shoulder. It might spend much time to repair the altar. Elijah's motion must have been slow because each of stones were heavy. It's not like this. He built the altar. Someone might try to help or stop Elijah, but he did it alone by himself. Elijah's silent but dramatic demonstration of repairing the altar of the Lord with 12 stones must have reminded the people of Israel of the significant message. Can you believe the hand of the Lord is much more mighty other than God's bow? Do you really fear the Lord, your God? What you should fear is the Lord, our God. Why do you waver between two gods? Can you remember the Lord who was saving, protecting, walking with you, your father, Israel, Moses, and Joshua? Elijah didn't say anything, but bring the message into the people through his demonstration. Can we say this is our ministerial life? Our ministerial life is similar to Elijah's repairing the altar of the Lord. The people may waver in their heart, by the secular values. Our church may waver between the true God and this worldly values. That's why we ministers must keep repairing and building faith in the Lord's mighty hands and fear of the Lord. The church or we are which the church or we are forgetting. Of course, we can preach our message to the people and the church. On the other hand, we need demonstrating the message itself in our life. We must live out the message through our ministerial life. What kind of the message again? The hand of the Lord, you believe, is mighty as you have already experienced. And it is light that you keep fearing the Lord, your God. Let us not waste much time in playing games, watching video or TV, and browsing the web in our ministerial life. Do we recognize the Lord's mighty hand in our ministerial life? Do we really fear the Lord our God in our ministerial life? Does our ministerial life live out this message for the wavering people and church? Elijah completed the building, the altar, and then he makes the trench about the altar, put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and lays it on the wood in front of the people. But the people wondered that Elijah made the people take curious action. What's that? Elijah commanded the people to pour the water on the burnt offering and on the wood. While pouring water, The people must have wondered why Elijah ruined the burnt offering and the wood. Does Elijah expect God's answer by fire with water? Where water is, does fire appear? This is a paradox in our common sense. Elijah's contradicting command must have brought the people into wonder and doubt. Elijah did not follow the people's common sense, but spiritual sense or his faith. Nothing will be impossible with God. Surely Moses and the Israelites experienced the impossibility through passing over the midst of the Red Sea. Joshua and the Israelites also experienced that this is impossibility through passing over the Jordan. Why did Elijah make the people pour water on the sacrifice and the wood? Elijah must have intentionally set up the same impossible situation which the Israelites experienced before, like Moses in the Red Sea and Joshua in the Jordan. Elijah believed that God can make a way, like the old days, and answer his prayer by fire in this impossible and difficult situation. Surely did he believe that nothing will be impossible with God. We encounter a lot of impossibilities in our ministerial life, financially, materially, culturally, socially, mentally, and spiritually. In fact, we have encountered, experienced, and overcome impossible and difficult situations many times in our ministerial and personal life. The church has done it too. In such experience, we realized the message of the Lord's mighty hand and the fear of God. If we realize it, why would we go limping? Why would we waver between two different opinions? After pouring water, Elijah prays to God, and God answered his prayer with a fire. This morning, are you wavering? Is your faith wavering? Are you forgetting faith in God's mighty hands and fear of God, which you experienced before in possible and difficult situations? We can repair and build it with prayer like Elijah, because we believe God will answer our prayer with the fire, the Holy Spirit. Shall we repair and build the altar of the Lord? And then we can go to our ministerial life again, and then the church, our church and our community are waiting for us. Do it again, the Lord. Shall we all stand? Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this wonderful moment to listen to your message. Lord, we are now here. Sometimes we are wavering in our desire and between our desire and God's will. Lord, please help us to repair our faith. Faith in God's, your hand is mighty. And also the Lord, please remember our faith. And Lord, please remind us of the fear of God. Lord, please transform our faith, rebuild and then repair our faith. Lord, thank you very much for this wonderful morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.